Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And we continue with Daily Conversations. Yeah, this is Danny speaking, host and founder of Gamer Tag Radio. Yes, we're gonna turn 14 years, man. 14 years. Podcasting all about video games, man, since 2005. Make sure to head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes, and let us know your thoughts. So we've been releasing now content, a new segment called Daily Conversations. I've been recording our real phone conversations, like raw, unedited, straight up freestyle, whatever pops up in the conversation, I leave it there. I recorded it and I put it as a podcast. So usually, let's say Pete, he was in town. I recorded our conversation. He was driving up north to West Palm Beach. He was in Miami. So I recorded our conversation. We talked about Apex Legends. Make sure to tune in, listen to that episode. It came out really, really cool. Came out really dope. Love that conversation. This time is with Paris, other co-hosts of Gamertag Radio. And this time we were talking about just giving feedback to the developers and publishers about different games. Of course, the conversation started about Anthem. We talked about The Division and, you know, games that either just came out or is coming out in the future. And we talked about why it is important to send our feedback to the publishers. So we're going to play here in a few minutes. But before I post the audio here, if you have questions, you have feedback, you like this daily conversation segment, you have other ideas that you think we should do, do you like game battles? The Battle of the Games. That's another segment that I'm going to be releasing two more because I had two that just released. And if you like fan mail or just in general, just Gamertag Radio, here's how you can send us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yeah, man, Gamertag Radio already now 14 years. I love that, man. Love that. 14 years. My God, how time flew. Oof. Lou. Back in the days, I didn't have the great equipment. It was strictly straight up from my built-in mic from my laptop. And look now, we have a mixer and all this stuff. Oh, man, it's so much easier now to create content here. But anyways, I'm going to play the audio here. This is the Daily Conversation with Paris. Again, we talked about sending feedback to the gaming companies instead of just saying, I love this game and all that. And we brought up when people get mad when we post our feedback on Twitter, social media, or even on a podcast. We talked about all that stuff. So please let me know your thoughts about it. And I think it was a great, great conversation. So I'm going to play right now and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hello?
Yo, Paris.
Hey.
What's up, man? Hey, another daily conversation. People liking this, so that's good.
Yeah, another daily conversation, and I had to call an emergency one for this reason. So,
well, what's up?
Last night, I'm going through some of my old footage, some old video capture footage of like the Division 2. I was going through some Anthem stuff and, you know, because I've just got some ideas floating in my head of some stuff I want to do. So, Doing that, I noticed when we went, and this is the Division 2, when we went to do one of the in-game missions, there was a screen that popped up where you would get a specific weapon from, like, the boss would drop a specific weapon from that mission, right, for the in-game. It was, like, specific in-game loot from that boss in the Division 2, right?
Okay.
So it made me think. I go, This is exactly what I'm talking about that's missing from Anthem. They don't have specific, like when you do a stronghold, right? There's not on Grandmaster difficulty, if I defeat the boss, it's going to drop this piece of gear. Like there's a chance for this weapon to drop or this armor piece to drop. They don't have that yet. And I was thinking about it because they got the day one patches coming out, and the BioWare developers just did a live stream when they were talking about future stuff that they're going to put into the game pretty soon. And one of them is they're going to have a cosmetic item that can drop from the stronghold. So I'm like, okay, that's a good start. That, you know, they're addressing some of the things that have been my concerns since I first started, you know, working with BioWare on giving feedback about the game. This is like one of my number one things is the loot. You gotta fix the loot. The loot does not excite me in this game. I don't feel compelled to grind the same things over and over for hours on end, because ultimately what's my reward? Some random masterwork or some random legendary gear? That doesn't excite me. And I'm talking me, right? So the whole point I bring that up is I took a screenshot from that Division 2 thing that I saw and I put a tweet out and I was just like, this is exactly what I'm looking for from Anthem. And then I kind of went on a little, not a rant, but I had a series of tweets where I just laid out, here's what I would like to see from Anthem that I think would fix a lot of the issues in the short term. And I was just basically talking about loot, specific things, things in the end game that I want to see. Right? I'm not, yeah. F you, I'm not middle finger, F you BioWare, this game sucks. I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is, here's my constructive feedback on what I want to see. In a series of tweets at 11 o'clock at night last night. So guess what happened?
What happened, Mr. Paris? Because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, people responded to it basically saying that, basically telling me to shut up and dribble is what it came down to. They're like, you're complaining. You need to stop complaining and just let them worry about fixing the game. In other words, shut up. Don't have an opinion. Take what you got. And don't give any kind of feedback at all.
Why would they say that though? Is it because fans?
Yeah, and that's the point that I'm bringing up. Because here's what I'm realizing: people don't like when you don't like what they like. You see what I'm saying?
Well, we've been seeing that for a very, very long time. Not only with that particular game, but. A lot of stuff. It could be consoles, yeah. Games, so on. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of why I wanted to just like, hey, let's have a conversation about this, because
yeah,
it isn't just about Anthem. Like you said, it's just the overall sentiment online of, hey, I like this game, or I like this console, or I like this brand. How dare you have an opinion that doesn't agree with mine? I'm going to now attack you because you don't agree with me. And look, it could be these are kids, but a lot of times we know it's not. These grown ass people that just, you know, we joke around and say, oh, you're whipping out the sword and shield defending the realm. We joke about it, like, you know, but in reality, people take this stuff dead serious, dead serious. Like, it's life or death. How dare you not like this game? I like this game and I'm having fun with it. You don't have an opinion online, because if you do, then you're just complaining and you're whining. And this kind of also goes to the Mike Ybarra thing, right, from Xbox that happened yesterday.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about that too.
Jesus, we gotta talk about that.
Oh my God, what happened?
Hey, right off the top, he's wrong. The position that you're in, don't say that. Don't tell people that. Hey, the number one, his facts were wrong, and then he's basically telling, well, okay, I guess the story behind it.
Yes, because now people are like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. So a journalist is sitting here saying, and basically in his review or his impressions of Anthem, that, you know, he didn't know how to do combos, whatever. It was very confusing. And Mike Ybarra basically took issue with this. And he's a VP at Xbox. I forget his exact title, but he's a high up exec. Took issue with this on Twitter. And basically said that he doesn't get all the whining and that, you know, you should basically get good at the game, learn how to play the game. But what he forgot to realize is Anthem does not tell you how to pull off a combo in the game.
Well, a lot of games like that, you'll figure things out on your own.
I get that. That's not my point. Like, hell, when we were playtesting it, no one told us how to do a combo. We actually just naturally figured it out. But the point is this, you can't expect everyone to naturally figure out something and then freaking shame them because they didn't figure it out, right? So he's wrong for that. Don't do that. And then when people were following up on what he was saying, he's sitting there, well, the game isn't even out yet. It doesn't come out until Friday. And it's like, wrong. The game came out on February 15th on PC to Origin Premier. It wasn't, you had to pay to be able to play the game on the 15th. You had to pay extra because you had to pre-order or do a pre-order bundle or the Origin Premiere, I guess, right? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So because of that, to me, that's the final game. That is the release game. So you don't get a pass for bugs. You don't get a pass for any of that because that is the game. People are going to judge and review the game on that build of the game. Yes. This day one patch or day seven patch, however you want to look at it, is coming out. We'll be out on the 22nd when it's fully available for consoles. But it is not fair to sit there as a VP of Xbox, basically tell people, again, shut up and stop whining. You're whining. People aren't whining. People are bringing up legitimate issues and concerns they have with a game. He should be sympathetic to that. And not sit there and try and make people feel dumb for having an opinion. And again, that goes back to this my overall thing. Why are we not allowed to have an opinion on things? And I say that because everyone's opinion matters. My opinion is no more valuable than anyone else's, right?
Uh-huh.
If I'm on my Twitter account giving my opinion, why isn't that okay? That's what baffles me. Why isn't it okay that I see, and again, I'm not being an a-hole. I'm not like just trolling. I am just straight up saying, here's what I think of the game and here's what I think they should do to improve it.
Yeah. You know what I see, Paris, every time you tweet about that stuff? Like, we're passionate about gaming, right? We're very passionate, and you see the good out of this from this game. Not only that game, but The Division, Destiny, and other games. Even Crackdown, you see the potential with all those games. If it doesn't work out, you giving not only the developers but the publishers feedback. They should do this, they should do that. Don't rush it, you know, things like that. But as a gamer from the outside that doesn't know a lot about the behind the scenes, they just read whatever's online or see on YouTube or hear from podcasts. They're so excited about the game that they don't want to hear your nonsense. They don't want to hear your feedback or anything like that. They see that as like, oh, whatever, he's a hater, whatever. What the hell he knows? They don't know that your name is in the credits of the game.
Right.
They don't know that you've been checking out this game, you know, what for a while now. What the last one was in January or whatever.
Right.
Things like that.
And I've been checking it out prior to that.
Yeah.
Which I guess just to pause on that really. That and you know, Pope Bear, from Destiny Community Podcast, he had even responded on it and basically was saying, hey, we went through this with Destiny too, because it's true. And the same thing. People get mad because you're critical about the thing. But my reply to him was, you're critical about the things that you love. You know, that's when you're at your most critical, because you want to see them succeed. And right or wrong, I have an investment in Anthem because I had the unique opportunity to give early feedback directly to BioWare on the game.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And look, a lot of the issues that I'm talking about right now, I've been saying for a very long time. And they know I've been saying it for a very long time. It just so happens now I can openly start talking about these things. And when I do see the final game come out and I still see the same problems, I'm going to say something. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And again, if you go to the thread, you will see the community manager for EA respond and go, "We always appreciate your feedback, always." Because
please, please continue. He said that, right? Please keep on, or something like that. Yeah.
Because here's the dirty secret about game developers. They want to hear what's wrong with their games.
Yes, right? They don't see it. They don't see it while they're developing. Because, like I said before, many times they're stuck in this bubble that everything is good, and they're surrounded by people saying yes, 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 yes. They're barely gonna hear people saying no. So when the outside be like, "Hey, love the game. I see the potential," but that's when they'll be like, "Damn, I didn't realize that. You know what? Let me take these notes." That's how the process goes, man. A lot of people gotta understand that, man. Paris, you're not hating on the game. People also gonna understand that. It looks like it, maybe from the outside, but there's a difference between being a hater and being passionate about a product that you see the potential of, like, damn, this could be big, but this is the issue that I have. And maybe when the next game comes out, you probably actually look, I'm gonna go back with this because I was gonna bring this up too. We interviewed multiple people from Microsoft many times in the past since we started with GTR. And in the past, we always are very critical with things that they've been doing from the business side, right? We didn't like certain things that they've been doing when the launch of Xbox One and all this stuff, right? And they still came to our show and told us straight up, even off record, "Please continue with your feedback. You're pushing us. That's what we want. We want you to push us to be better." Sometimes, maybe behind the scenes, they'll be like, "Damn it." Like, they probably will be mad, right, Paris? Not only them, but like a bunch of other developers and that stuff. Like, "Damn it. I thought we were doing good." But they love, they love when we give them our honest feedback. Yo, I straight up, I don't like this whole everything is good, man. I've never been that way, man. You're never been that way, Pete, either. We always been straight up. "Hey, this is what we like. This is what we don't like. You guys should make some changes. Let's make it better, blah, blah, blah." And these same people from the industry will invite us even to eat or to just to hang out for some drinks just so they can learn more about what the things that we like. We give them their feedback, and they take that feedback, take it to the team. And hopefully when the next product comes out, they'll be like, "All right, look, guys, look, Danny, look, Paris, look, Pete, look what we have here. What you guys think?" I remember years ago, we had Aaron Greenberg and Albert Pinello. That's when he used to work for Xbox. He doesn't work there anymore. But they were there, and they were talking about the TV, those features is in there, the system, about TV and about Kinect. And you brought up Kinect. I can't remember exactly how the conversation came about, but you mentioned during the interview, you said, "Hey, this is the issue that I have with Xbox and Kinect, blah, 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 blah." You mentioned that it was kind of difficult for your wife or your kids to start, like, you know, doing the commands and everything. And you even mentioned, "Hey, is it possible to have the TV feature in the system, so when I turn it on, the TV will turn on, and we'll make some, you know, it'll be easier instead of going back to the app and put TV. Like, it's a longer process if you guys have it that way. But if we turn on the system, the first thing will pop up is the TV, because the TV, the cable or whatever it is, it's already connected directly to the Xbox." You mentioned that, and Albert and Aaron were like, "Okay, you know what? That's true. All right." They took notes. They sent it to the team. They added that feature into the system months later. It was already available.
And that option is still there to this day.
Yep. But you gave them that feedback. You gave them that feedback. Imagine you'd be like, "I love Xbox One. I love Kinect." Maybe they would add that feature, but it would have probably taken longer because they probably wasn't thinking about it at that time and so on. But yo, they added that feature right after the conversation with us. That's what we're talking about. That's what Paris is trying to say every time he posts these things on Twitter, man. Please, for the love of God, don't take it personal. It's the is the truth.
Yeah, and it's truth. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's just the honest truth. You know, I've said it about Destiny. I've said it about The Division. I've said, you know, there's plenty of games that I've mentioned, hey, I don't like X, Y, and Z. And then I actually get a chance to talk to the developers. And that's what I mean. See, people don't see that side of it, where we've had these opportunities, like you said, even talking to Aaron and like Albert, where we've actually talked face-to-face with developers. And they encourage to give, don't be an a-hole. You don't have to be an a-hole about it. But give constructive feedback of, what is it about the game that you would like to see improved? Or what is it about the game that you're not liking right now? What can we change? What can we do to make the game better? And that's what people need to understand. They are just as passionate about this as we are. I mean, they're artists when it comes right down to it, these developers making these games. You really think they want to just throw out a half-assed game that people are going to have a 60 Metacritic score and everyone's, yep, oh, this sucks, it sucks, it sucks. They don't want that. They want the game to be great. And I think, again, I think I have more of a personal stake in Anthem because I can see the vision of what it can be.
Yeah.
And it's just not there yet. But my fear is BioWare isn't given the time to actually do what they need to do. And then we're talking about Anthem 2 years from now. We're going, yeah, remember Anthem? Oh, man, that was, dude. Oh, God.
So much potential. So much potential. Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Where, again, The Division is the crown jewel of this, of what I'm talking about. I did not play The Division at launch because I go, this is a freaking hot mess. And like we were saying before, it took me 2 years to actually come back to that game,
yeah,
and play it. Now look.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I truly enjoyed.
I'm really happy with The Division too.
Yeah, I truly enjoyed the first Division because I found it, hey, you know, it's a straight up shooter. I'm having fun. It's not too complicated. Let me just do my thing. And I enjoyed it. The thing was, I was already done. Didn't know what the hell else I had to do. Yeah. I was completely done. P also, P was playing this game like multiple times. You know, once in a while, you see some updates, we'll go back. But I think it was 1.8. That's when it changed everything. You know what I'm saying? But I remember this, Paris. I remember, and this is the perfect example of the conversation we're having now. I remember you were editing the video that we worked on. We were doing the interview. We did the interview with the Red Storm developers about Dark Zone, PvP, everything, right? So you were editing the video. I sent you the audio, whatever. So, and we were like in a hurry because it was coming, the day that we had to post the content and everything, right? So you sent me the video and there was like the way how you edited the introduction. I was like, Paris, I think I don't like that part. I think you should change it because of this. Like, it was kind of off. You were super excited, and that was your vision, right? You were like, nah, you know what? I'm going to keep it like this. Nah, Godfrey. We were even going back and forth. We're like, yo, Paris, I'm telling you, man. I'm coming from the outside. I am not liking this, right? And you're like, nah, should be this way because of this, eh? Right? So then you had some time to think about it. I think we're like a day later, you were like, you changed it. And we're like, Darren, what you thinking? And I'm like, Paris, that's what I'm talking about. Now, this is it. So that is how we see when we're going back and forth with a developer. They're like in a hurry because they have a deadline, blah, blah, blah. We're giving them the feedback. Like, nah, it doesn't work. This is then. So we go back and forth. And then later they realize, damn, you know what? Let me change it. And they make the changes slowly. You know what I'm saying? But that's a perfect example of the stuff that we go through when we do stuff behind the scenes. Same thing with when we talk to developers, man. Don't you agree?
No, that's actually a great example. And that's kind of the point, because that was a thing of where, like you said, I have an idea in my head and I'm thinking, okay, this is the way to go. I'm looking at it in a bubble thinking, this is great.
Exactly.
And then you see it and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not so sure about this. Of course, I'm going to get slightly defensive at first because I'm like, wait a minute, why don't you like this? What's wrong with this?
This is my work. But, this is my thing that I, yeah. that I worked on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it.
But because I understand you're coming at it from a point of you just wanted to be the best that they can possibly be, I took a minute. I looked at it again because I even remember this. What I did was I kept what I originally had. I basically made a copy of it. I was like, all right, let me do it the way he's saying. Let me see how this looks. And I did it, and I was like, oh, stock, he's right. He's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me do it this way. You know what I mean?
You know what it is, Paris? And look what happened. You released that content, that video, and it's actually the video interview that's available on YouTube, and it's with the developers from Red Storm Entertainment, where we talked about Dark Zone, PvP.
Yeah, yeah.
You posted that interview, and yo, that interview is going around, right? Everybody loving it, like, wow, this is really good. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about, Paris. Sometimes when we are like stuck in that bubble, it's like, nah, I want to do this. Look, I'll give you a perfect example, man. So I worked on the documentary for GTR. So I was done. I was like, all right, this is it. I'm done. And in my head, I'm like, man, I'm going to invite some people in my house to see what they think. I'll send it to you and to Pete. But I want people from the outside too that doesn't know anything about us, whatever. And they will tell me, nah, Danny, I think you should do this and that. And at first, the same thing as you, Paris, I was like, nah, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to remove that. That's perfect. There's a reason why I have it there. But I thought about it and I made the changes and they made the movie even better because of that, man. And it's better to get that feedback from the outside, man. It's good. It's really good. Instead of having a bunch of yes men outside of you.
Agreed. You know? Agreed. It's just, you know, and I guess that's like the whole point of what I'm saying was like last night, I was just like, wow. It's like, I'm not hating the game. I'm saying, here's what I think we could do to improve it. And then the first responses were shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
It was like, in other words, I don't want to hear that because I like this game. Don't say anything's wrong with it because I like it. This is basically what it is.
I don't get it.
It's okay. But that's what baffles me. It's okay to like what you want to like, right? I've never told anyone don't like Anthem. Of course, if you like it in the current state that it's in, knock yourself out. That is fine. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone comes to me and say, hey, should I buy Anthem? I'm going to say right now, no, because of X, Y, and Z. But that's my, look, it's porn ass rant. They're trying to get me in. It's like, shut up. But that's me. That's just my opinion. And I would hope that people would understand and know at this point, I will never act like my opinion matters more than anyone else's.
And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all.
No, it should never be that way. But I'm also going to give my opinion. I'm not shy about giving my opinion. And like just going back to bring this all full circle, I'm actually very thankful that EA and BioWare even let me be a part of this process. Because just to give a little bit of backstory on it.
Yes.
If you remember, 6 months ago, however long ago that was, it was basically after, you know, let's take it from here. So I go to EA Play at E3, you know, in 2018. I go to EA Play Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yep. I am freaking excited because I'm like, yo, they're finally going to show off Anthem gameplay. I'm so excited for this. I can't wait. You have no idea. Super hyped for Anthem. I cannot wait for Anthem because I wanted this to be a true competitor to Destiny and The Division and all that. So I'm super excited for EA Play. Yo, I get there, you know. Standing room only. I'm standing in the back for like 2 hours waiting for BioWare to come out and show off Anthem. Yo, they showed that trailer and then they had that Q&A with Casey and the other guys and they're showing concept art. They're not showing real things from the game. Yo, yeah, you remember this. Yo, I love EA Play on fire, man.
Oh, no. And even worse, you were standing the whole time.
Yo, yeah.
That's even worse.
Like I stood 2 hours for this. I love yeah. Mad.
Yeah.
And then I met you guys in downtown LA at LA Live, and we're at the restaurant. I'm sure you guys remember. I was hot. I was like, man, screw this game.
Yeah.
I go, what is this? Yeah. I go, if they're just showing concept art at this point and still keeping it pretty super secret on wanting the general public to see gameplay from it, I go, it's not ready. Something's up. This game is not ready yet. the fact that we're this close to launch and they're still not being very open with details on the game. Everything is very concept. That worried me. So the reason I bring that up is I was talking about that then. That was June of last year. So then over the summer, anytime Anthem would come up, I was very critical. I'm like, why aren't they showing us anything? What's going on with this game? I don't feel that this game is ready. Something's up. Kept saying that a lot, to the point where it obviously went around and EA contacted me straight up. And we had a conversation about the game and my thoughts. I will keep that conversation between us. That's not for public consumption.
Yeah.
But we had a conversation about it. The end result of it was, yeah, they invited me to come see the game early. They invited me to come give my feedback on the game. And everything that I'm saying now, I have said directly. See, this is the funny part of it. These tweets and the things that I've said on GTR over the last couple weeks, I said all this months ago. So it is not a surprise at all to anyone at BioWare or EA Game Changers, because I've said it before. And I'm going to keep saying it until they can make those changes, because I'm not going to just sit back and just lay down and go, well, this is what the game is. No, because they can make this even better than what it is right now. There are quality of life changes they can make, and they're starting to make them. That's what that live stream was all about yesterday.
Yeah.
Them addressing the quality of life issues, and they're basically saying, here's what we can do in the short term. My thing is, I want them to keep having this conversation with the community on what they're going to do to fix the game. It's the same thing Bungie went through last year. Bungie used to be super secret about their content and the changes and the upcoming roadmap until everyone started abandoning Destiny 2 in droves because they weren't happy. Then Bungie changed. Then Bungie started being a lot more open, communicating on Twitter, communicating on Reddit, having the community summit that they had last year, because people wanted to know, this game is broken right now. I'm not happy with it. What are you doing to fix it? And I think as long as BioWare has that say, and they're doing it, don't get me wrong, they are absolutely communicating right now and doing it. I'm very happy with that. But they got to keep it up, because yep, it's going to take time to fix it. Because I'll tell you something right now that will not get fixed. And people need to understand this. It's not getting fixed. Is the loading screen. It's not happening. That's an engine. That's a core engine thing. There's no way they can put out a magical patch that takes away all these load screens. Until we get to Anthem 2 and they do a complete redesign of the engine or something like that, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
So that's something that you just got to accept. I've already made my peace with that. It's just that that's the game. That's not changing. But things that they can change, yeah. I wanted the loot system, all that. That can change. Quest in the free, that can change. These are things that they can do. So again, I'm just openly talking about this stuff on social media and, you know, on the podcast and YouTube videos and stuff like that, because I do care. Here's the worst thing that could happen. If someone like myself that has been involved with the process, that has been given feedback that I didn't like it, I just didn't say anything at all. I just stopped talking.
Yeah.
And I just moved on and played other things. The fact that I'm like, hey, I don't like what it is right now, but I keep playing the game and I keep talking about it, that's what you want. You don't want someone to just be indifferent to the game and walk away, because once that happens, the game's dead. Community's going to walk away and it's done.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I just, like I said, I just found it interesting that, and look, I'm not saying people got to agree with me. Of course, you can disagree with me. I'm just was taken back that I felt like I was giving constructive feedback, and basically everyone was just like, yeah, you're complaining, be quiet.
Yeah, basically, okay. Shut up and dribble, right?
Yeah.
Shut up and play games.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man, I think this is a good conversation, because look, I've been getting a lot of feedback from people that have been listening to the show. The majority has been really positive, which is cool. And the point of posting daily conversation is, you know, of course, we're going to have our regular show that's going to come out every week and so on. But the thing I like about daily conversations, I want people to feel like, man, I'm part of this conversation too. I'm listening while going to school, going to work, you know, taking the train or bus, maybe a flight to a different state. and they're listening to this and be like, all right, this is cool. I feel like I'm part of this conversation, man. You know what I'm saying? That was the whole point of me recording this every time, right?
Yeah.
So one listener, Paul, says like, yo, I'm a longtime listener. I'm loving this. You know, I'm a longtime listener, so I know the point of this. But maybe there's new people that discover GTR and they listen to this for the first time and they'll be like, what is this? I don't know who's who or where. So I was like, yeah, you're right. You know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm going to start an introduction on each daily conversation before the conversation starts. And it's good that they give us that feedback. And that's what I'm talking about. Like at first I'm like, yo, this is dope. Let me just release this every time we record, or let me just release it. But getting that feedback, now I understand, yo, you know what? It's like one of the things I always mention to podcasters, especially, you know, when we're having a conversation, we're recording, whatever. And then we start mentioning names and we know that person, right? But the average person that listen to the show, they were like, who's this person you guys talking about? Or when we have like inside jokes and people don't know what it is, like they feel left out, you know, like we always have to be careful what we say, like what we say, like names and stuff, because I don't want people to feel like, I don't know what to talk about. I'm not part of the community. Why I should continue listening to this if I feel left out? So it's good that we get that feedback, man, so I can make those changes and make those introductions, so at least people know, oh, okay, I know what it is. Oh, it's Danny and Paris, or it's Danny and Pete, which is coming up soon. I had a daily conversation with Pete. That was pretty cool. It's coming up very soon. Actually, by the time this comes out, it's already out, so make sure to check it out. So, yeah, I like that. I like that people have been sending that type of feedback, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's good, and you know, it was a good idea by you to start doing this, because to be blunt, these are conversations we have anyways.
Yeah, you know, when we're not even recording, this happens all the time. And be like, damn, this should have been the podcast.
If you wouldn't have hit record on this, I would have called you and be like, yo, did you see Twitter last night? Man, I put this thing out there. And we would have had the same conversation.
And yo, like I said, we never planned this. Paris just a few minutes ago, hey Danny, get your recorder ready. I'm going to call you. It'll call me in 45 minutes. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I just pressed record. I had no idea what Paris was going to tell me. And I love that. It feels raw. It feels like, yo, we're going to have a conversation. Let's see what happens. And boom. And sometimes those conversations might be one of our best episodes, man. I love that.
I mean, because at the end of the day, we're just having a conversation. We're just talking.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It could go all kind of different directions. But yeah, man. I mean, just, you know, I guess to wrap it up. Yeah, I was like, hey, you know what? This happened last night. You know, I got some thoughts on it. Why not? Let's just talk about it. And because I was curious to see it from I want to see your point of view. I'm like, basically, am I tripping?
No.
Am I not seeing the point of this?
No.
You know. But I think the one thing I wrap it up and say on is, yeah, I'm being critical, but I feel like my criticisms are fair, they're honest, and I'm not purposely going out of my way to say, hey, this is a bad game. Because if you actually go read what I say, I'm specifically saying I see great potential in this game. You know, the day one patch is a great first step. But there's still a lot of work to do. And I guarantee you, if you ask anyone at BioWare, they will tell you the same exact thing.
Yeah. No, but it's good that they're having that conversation, man. Because I think engaging with your consumers is like the most important thing, in my opinion, because you're telling them what's going on, what's coming. Please send us feedback. Okay, let me write it down. Okay, this is what's going on. You go back and forth with them, right? That's the thing I was saying, and I mentioned this, I think, a couple episodes ago. When a company announced a game, and then it's been 5, 6, 7 years, and there's no, like, nobody knows what's going on. Like, what was the point of announcing something that there's no information right after that? There's no communication between that company and the consumers. I hate that so much. I don't care who it is, if it's Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo. I just don't like it. But if there's communication with the consumers, be like, hey, the game got delayed, okay, this is what we've been working on, back and forth. That's fine. That's fine. This is the difference between games getting delayed and not saying anything about the product or about the game. That's the issue that I have. You know, because I think today, one of our listeners on Discord, make sure to join discord.gg/GTR. On our Discord channel, somebody was like, hey, Danny, Sony is not the only one to do this. Hey, Nintendo have done it too, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. So, okay, he brought up Metro Prime, that game got delayed for Nintendo Switch. Oh, so look, they're going to take a long time. I'm like, wait a minute, but here's the difference. They first announced that it was coming. Then they said, Nintendo said, hey, actually, they even made a video for the fans, a video on YouTube. Hey, we decided to do this. It wasn't working right. There's a communication. What's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. But here's the difference. They talk to the consumers. Now, for example, remember the game Agents from a long time ago that was announced during the PlayStation 3 days?
Yep.
It was, I think, recently, maybe late last year, I think it was. Rockstar Games said that game was canceled. So what was the point of announcing that game way back in the days during the PlayStation 3 days? What was the point of that? To hype the consumer up to buy the product. That's basically the truth. And also, you know, business, investors happy and all that stuff. That's the reason why a lot of companies do that, man. But here's the thing. When you do that too much, after a while, people are going to find out the trend and then be like, what is the point of us getting hype if you only showed it and then you stay quiet after that? That's the issue that I have with all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, we've obviously talked about this in the past as well. I mean, this kind of goes back to even like when I was ranting about Crackdown the other day. It's the marketing, man. It's like at some point, where do you draw the line on when you release a game, when you announce a game, keeping the communication channels open, what's too early, what's too late, etc. It's, you know, I think these publishers are getting better at it because, look, PlayStation's even admitted, this is why we don't have a PSX this year or last year we didn't have PSX, I mean, and they're not even going to E3 this year because they don't really have anything to talk about.
They don't.
The things that they've already talked about for the past few years. So yep. Why keep rolling out the same content over and over and over and it's not ready yet, right?
Yeah.
This is why I really like how EA handle Apex Legends. Ain't talk about it at all until it's ready to go. Get some influencers out there. Talk about it on social media. Okay, here you go. Boom, done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like that. That may not work for paid games. It's a free-to-play. That definitely should be the way to go for free-to-play games from now on. But even with paid games that you pay for, I think the marketing cycle should be shorter. I don't think you should have these long drawn out things. You know,
yeah.
I actually kind of don't like that we found out about the Division 2 at E3, and it basically was almost a year, well, 9 months, I guess, by the time it comes out. I almost wish they would have waited until the end of 2018 to say, hey, we got the Division 2, and we're going to have a beta coming out in February. Boom, whoa, crap, where did that come from? Out of nowhere, people get excited.
Yeah.
But I understand that's not how it works in business and all that, yeah. But they're learning. The best one to me to this day is still Fallout 4. We didn't know anything about Fallout 4 until E3, and then it was out in November.
Well, there was leaks. There were leaks here and there, too. But,
yeah, but that's just leaks, though. Yeah. That, they can't, you can't help that. But the official marketing wasn't until E3. And then, boom, November, it was out.
But here's the thing, Paris. Like, when it's a free-to-play game, you're risking it. Hey, announce it now, release it, blah, 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 right? But a game like The Division where the company, the publisher, and the developer has been investing so much money, so much time to work on a product, so you want this to come out right. Now, when PR and marketing folks start working on, okay, how are we going to spread the word? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that to spread the word to the masses, right? So at E3, when we went to their pre-E3 event, that's when Julian had a certain amount of content that he was allowed to talk about because they want to save a lot of those other content for another time. Do you remember right after Comic-Con? Because you were there at the Comic-Con. I think they had like a panel about the Division, blah, 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 right? Right after that, there was nothing about the Division until we got invited to check out the Dark Zone. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the only. There was nothing at the Video Game Awards. None of that. Zero information about the Division. So then we go to Red Storm, and we get to play the Division 2 Dark Zone for the first time and PvP. And then I think 2 months later, that's when we went to the other event. Now it's about the campaign. Now they talk Black's Tux and the end game and all that stuff that they talked about at E3. Now we're playing it for the first time, and we see the potential of, like, look at the amount of content that this game is going to have, right? So I personally think they did it the right way because the investment, like, so much time working on this game and so many studios that have also been working on this game. So it makes sense, Paris, why they're doing it like that. Now, with Fallout, is a little bit different because to me, Fallout doesn't have the content and the different things that you could do in that game like The Division or like, for example, let's say Destiny or a game like that or a game like Anthem because it's open world, it's multiplayer and it's crazy amount of content in there and all this stuff, right?
Right.
Fallout to me is like, here's a single player story and enjoy. And it's going to be available in November. Yeah, it works for that. It works for that, but I think open world games like The Division is a little bit tricky, man. I think it's better to just take your time and promote certain things, and then at the right time, have, you know, influencers and streamers, and then boom, release the game or beta or whatever, and release it. You know, now the thing that I'm kind of like that I don't like was how they basically didn't show much about Fallout 76. And we had this weird vibe for a while. We're like, yo, this game, I don't know. Something about this game is not right. I don't know what it is. And we were right, man. Because sometimes when you stay too quiet, that's when the majority of the time something is up. We got to see that with Mass Effect, the last Mass Effect. You remember? Yo, there was no information, no video, nothing for a while. Until like maybe closer to the release date, we're like, I don't know, man. Something is not right about this game, man. Something is off. And look, we were right too. And I think you were the one that brought that up too. As a fan of Mass Effect, you brought that up. We're like, I don't know. Something is not right.
Hey, see, look. I'm not going to pat myself on the back because it's nothing to celebrate. But I'm telling you, go back and listen. I was saying it for months. Before launch, I go, something about this game is not right. Something ain't right.
Yeah.
Why aren't they showing us anything? You know, why are we getting this trickle feed of information? Where's the media blowout? Something's not right. They waited right up until right before launch to actually start showing things, and then boom, here we are. And again, this goes back to my fear. That was BioWare. EA pulled the plug on Mass Effect quick. I just don't want them to do the same thing with Anthem.
Nah.
Give them time.
And we see the potential with that game. That's why.
Yeah. It's just like if Ubisoft would have pulled the plug on a Division early. We wouldn't have had this. We wouldn't have had the sequel now, probably. You know? So, just look. Even if the sales are low, it gets the low Metacritic scores, all that, ton of bug issues, just give them time. Because what they can do is they can package all these fixes together, get everything right, and kind of, quote-unquote, relaunch the game. They can have their 1.8 update at some point. And that's how you got to look at it. But that also doesn't mean we have to sit here at launch and just say, okay, they'll fix it eventually. Don't say nothing. No, you can still say something. Now, look, I'm not saying I'm going to sit here saying the same damn thing 3 months from now about those same issues. We get it. But at some point, you got to be vocal about it. And then you move on. Do you think, and this is just a scenario, I'm not naming an outlet or a person or anything, or even a game, but if a media outlet gets a game for review and they assign someone to review the game that doesn't like that style of game, is that fair to the game?
I think it's not fair, because now if it's after they post a review and they want to get from another person's view, point of view, like, hey, a person that's not into this, because you honestly, sometimes company want to get that type of audience too to buy their product, right? So why not test it out to see a person that is not into that type of genre to not to review it, but more so like, hey, how is it from your point of view, or someone that doesn't like it? If it's like that, then I'm fine with it. But if it's like an official review that's coming out, I think that's not fair, man. Because Paris, let's say I'm into puzzle games. You're not. You're into shooters. Let's just make believe. What is the point of you reviewing puzzles if you're not into that? You're not into it. From the start, you're going to be like, I don't like this type of games. So automatically, you're going to have that in your mind, like, I'm not into this. I find this boring. That's right. How I see it.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. Now, let's do it on the flip side. Do you think it's fair to a game to have someone that is like a super fan of that particular game or genre to do the review? Or should you get someone that is considered neutral to review a game?
Both. Here's why. If it's a person that's a big, huge fan, then it is good, because now if they're being honest, if now they're like super fanboyish and just everything is good, then I to me, that's just a complete waste of time. But if you're a person like, I'm a fanboy, but here's things that I don't like, that's fine with me. Neutral is neutral. Neutral, a person that's like that, they're probably is always going to say the good and the bad. But
right.
Like, for example, everybody knows I like Xbox, right? So there's things that I didn't like from them that I mentioned it multiple times on our show. Multiple times. I'm a fan of Nintendo. I said the same thing, the good and the bad. And I think by being straight up 100 about these things, again, it's something that companies love to hear. So that's why I think it's better to just be like that, man, instead of like, oh my God, it's the greatest thing ever, and that's it. I don't want to hear what anybody says. That's how I see it. Do you agree with me or what, Paris?
I think that's fair. I think that's straight up, you know? I can see it both ways. Like, okay, let's just take Destiny as an example. Everybody and their mom knows I love that game. So when Destiny 3 comes out, if I review it, most people know, oh, Paris reviewed it, then he's going to probably be more favorable towards it than Pete would be, as an example.
Yes.
But then again, maybe you, Danny, should review a Destiny 3 because you don't have a dog in the fight either way. You're just going to be completely neutral. So they know if, wow, Danny likes it, oh, well, it must be really good then. Or they could take the opposite and go, well, Danny didn't like it. Yeah, but he's not a fan of the game. I don't know. I might still give it a try. Like you said, I can see it both ways.
Okay.
I really can.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. That's good, Paris. Anything else, Paris? Anything else before we wrap this up?
No, I think that's it. Look, we won't go on record to say what it is, but Danny Secrets. Next week, let's see.
Yeah, man, Danny Circuits. I don't want to say anything because I want.
Nah, we can't say nothing.
I don't want to say anything because I want to be, you know, officially. Hey, this is official, whatever.
But hey, I like your theory. I'll say that.
You like it? All right.
I'm on board for this conspiracy theory.
Yeah. All right. So
I'm down.
If it happens, we'll talk about it more on the podcast. And we'll mention why and all this stuff, and we just love this like detective work, man, in the back, in the background, behind the scenes.
But hey, I will say what the way you broke it down. At first, I was like, man, and then I was like, wait a minute,
it makes sense. I know people are like, what are they talking about? Don't worry, coming soon.
Yep.
Coming soon. All right, Paris. Now it was a great chat, man.
All right, man.
All right.
Talk to you later.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Post your feedback. Send us to fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Let us know what your thoughts about the daily conversation on this episode. I think that was a great, great conversation. Man, it was like almost 60 minutes. Almost. Woof. Insane. Insane. Again, if this is your first time listening to Gamertag Radio, love the content, send us an email, voicemail, or even record a message on speakpipe.com/Gamertag Radio. And we're definitely going to play on a future episode of GTR because I love answering questions, people, man. Fan mail is awesome. Love that. Love that. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Post your thoughts and feedback over there. Also, share with your friends. You can find us everywhere in every podcast app you can think of. Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public. We're everywhere. Apple Podcasts, right? I mentioned that. Oh, so many. Anyways, subscribe, follow, or even post a review. It will help us out so much. A lot of people will discover us because, hear this, every time you post a review, the rankings, the top of the charts, you will see GTR coming up. You know, and every time you subscribe, also, that help us to go on top of the charts too. Spotify, the same exact thing. So the more you do that, the more it's going to help us out. All right? So please, 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 please continue. And if you haven't had a chance yet, because we have a lot of people that just listen to the show that haven't had a chance to do this. But if you haven't watched the award-winning documentary that I made last year about Gamertag Radio, you can watch it for free because I posted it on YouTube months ago, but I had it on private. But now I have it available for free. Anybody could watch it. And you could learn more about our story, how we started and everything. And it's a very inspirational film, man. You could watch this with people that are not into podcasting, not into games, and they will appreciate this so much. It's a very, very inspiring film. And I'm not saying this because I worked on it. I'm being straight up real about it. So do this. Go to story.gamertagradio.com, story.gamertagradio.com, and you can watch the award-winning documentary called Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. Check it out and let me know what you think. Post your comments in there too. And share it. Share with your friends and let them know about GTR and everything. But that's a very, very cool film. So I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. I just want to say thank you for listening. We have a lot of listeners from everywhere, man. So shout out to you. And one of these days, I'm probably going to do like top 10 places that have been listening to us every week. You know, I'll probably do that one of these days. So shout out to everybody. And I think we're going to wrap it up here. Yeah. Until next time, y'all. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.